there, and welcome to Arcadia. Chris Marcus here from Arcadia Genomics. Thank you for joining me today. We have a great show lined up for you. And today we're going to talk about what really is the next step that's going to happen. Now, the problems going on in the economy, the U.S. and globally, a lot of these things aren't new, but there's been a great degree to which it's like people can see that the money printing's going on. Yes, the U.S. government's clearly insolvent. They're probably never going to really address the debt ceiling other than by raising it. And it seems like a lot of people are starting to wake up to this and are becoming clear about what's going on. Yet, the bizarre part is that it's almost like it's happening, but just nothing happens. The markets certainly haven't reflected this. The U.S. 10-year yield still around 2.5, 2.60, so, and that's still very historically low. And certainly myself, I've been waiting around wondering when does the market start to price in what seems to be clearly happening. Especially one of the big confusing elements has been that over this past year, really the past 2 years since August of 2011 when gold hit $1,900 and now it's trading around $1,300, it's kind of counterintuitive and similar with the European debt crisis where, well, we heard these countries were insolvent, the banking systems were having problems. As far as anybody can see, nothing's really been done about it, but again, it's like we see the car crash in action, yet it's almost as if, did it really happen? So something that I've been thinking about a lot is what really causes the next set of actions or events or really kind of revert into reality of some form. And today that's what we're going to cover. So now I will start this as saying that this is one of these things. This is going to be pure speculation to a degree because in these types of situations, there's really no one that knows exactly how this is going to unfold. In fact, what's interesting is that often it's, you know, when you're talking about the popping or collapsing of a bubble, it's usually some completely random, innocuous factor that no one could have guessed of, or a bird flies through Indonesia and dips in the water and a tidal wave starts and it spreads across the globe. And so I'll say my first most likely scenario is that whatever happens is something completely different from what I'm about to throw out there, but anyway, just for fun and just again, to the degree that the more you think about the different ways things can happen and look at the markets is always instructive and gets you closer to understanding what will happen. And when things do begin to get a little more chaotic, hopefully none of what happens will come as a surprise. And by understanding the various forces that are in play, you can be positioned and prepared. And really, whether you're just trying to protect your assets or whether you're trying to actively trade this and benefit from what's going on, this is the way, by thinking through some of these different iterations, you can start to get a feel for how things will actually work out. And if you do that consistently and intelligently, then whenever the next round of trouble for the U.S. and the globe does happen, you'll be in good shape. So with that said, from everything that I'm looking at, it comes back to one particular factor, which I mentioned briefly, which was really this counterintuitive move in the precious metals, especially over the past 2 years. Silver went as high as $49 in late April of 2011, then came crashing down to the 30s, I believe it was, low 30s, and then towards the debt ceiling debate in August of 2011 when the U.S. was downgraded, got back into the mid-40s. This was around the same period where gold hit 1900. And then in September, I believe it was September 6th, gold was at $1,900 and there was a pretty big drop. And it's fluttered for periods of times, but also dropped. And it's a good bit lower now, around $1,300. And it's a bit of a topic that, depending on where you go, some people will or won't be willing to mention it. Given that I think it's the single most significant, or at least one of the single most significant factors in the markets today, well, we're going to dive right in because we don't have to worry about anything except the truth and what's actually happening. And that gets back to the fact that the gold and silver markets are being manipulated right now. Now, to start with, I think a little background about what happened in 2011, particularly in the gold market, will help put some of this in context. At that point, I had always heard the rumors of gold and silver being manipulated, particularly silver. That's a rumor that's been floating out there for a while. And it wasn't really until gold was at $1,900 and dropped that really made me start look into this one a little more. And in short, since then, well, as conclusively as one can say without sitting next to someone watching them manipulate it, at least in my mind, it's as clear as day that these are two markets that are being very actively manipulated. And that's the single reason why, despite the fact that since August of 2011, you've had QE3, you've had QE4, the Fed is currently printing $85 billion a month. They talked all summer about tapering, and now you don't even hear about tapering. You're starting to hear about them potentially increasing it, yet the price of gold and silver are falling. Now, back in August of 2011, the U.S. was facing the debt ceiling, and they took actually a very similar approach to what they did this past October, where they just said, well, we're going to raise it and keep borrowing more. Somehow, the folks in Washington always give us this explanation how if the only responsible thing to do and way to handle it would be to increase the debt limit and go farther into debt, which seems a little backwards, but in line with Washington anyway. But what was interesting is that at this time, this was one of the first times that I can remember that the US's title of the safe haven asset, referring to US dollars and treasuries, was really being questioned. There was a lot of attention which faded away after that, but at the time, you were hearing some of the various central banks and global lenders. I remember, I think it was the Bank of Philippines in particular, but just making the kind of commentary of saying, we don't feel comfortable with what the US is doing, and just really openly questioning for the first time a lot of what we've always taken for granted. And people were wondering, well, is the US still the safe haven? At the same time, the Europeans were printing a lot of money. The Japanese have been printing away. Now, the Chinese, because their currency is pegged to the dollar, which means they don't want their currency to rise relative to the dollar. So if the US is printing, China is going to print in lockstep to keep their currency in line with ours. And if it sounds bizarre that all of these countries are actually trying to make their own currency the weakest. Yes, it is as it should be hard to imagine. It's incredible to think that they're going this far out of their way, destroying their own currency to outdo each other. And that's something that if you Google Arcadia Economics and the fallacy of the debased currency. Actually wrote an article about that earlier this year that explains a little bit more about what's going on there. But nonetheless, that's the dynamic. Each central bank feels basically under this misguided belief that, hey, if we lower our currency, we can export more units, which that part is true, but what they're not mentioning is that the lower currency It's effectively saying, well, I was selling 100 units at $100. Now I'm selling 200 units. But the price, what they don't mention is that the price has become $50 because your currency is weaker. You're putting your goods on sale, but these guys are just looking at the actual number of units shipped. So as bizarre as it sounds, the way they calculate that is that we want a weaker currency. How that factors into this situation is that with what was going on at that time in August of 2011, at that point, people were looking to the Swiss franc as the last remaining safe haven because everybody else was printing away and people were starting to leave dollars. The U.S. had just gotten downgraded by S&P. And so on this same night that gold began its descent from $1,900, what happened right at that same time was you had an announcement. Now, for Americans, this was in the middle of the night. And the Swiss bank announced that they were going to peg their currency to the euro, which, similar to what I just described about how China is pegging their currency meaning to the dollar, meaning that they won't allow it to rise. So they're going to print money to make sure it stays lower. The Swiss were doing a very similar arrangement. They said, we're going to peg to the euro, which, keep in mind, this was right when Greece was having one of its latest rounds of implosion. And the Europeans were printing a lot of money to fund that. And the Swiss looked and said, that's the model we want to be on, and we're going to copy that. Now, I remember when I first saw the news of this announcement, I was thinking, wow, gold's really going to skyrocket. I mean, it had been going up a lot already, but here you're removing the last, well, at least of the fiat currencies, and fiat currency being a paper currency. You know, the last one that was considered safe was the Swiss franc. Now, they're going to start printing money. So you would have thought, well, gold and silver, they're just going to explode on this news. Instead, you saw the exact opposite happen, which was really it's still hard to fathom the argument of why gold would trade. And in the middle of the night, you just see a big spike down. Now, aside from the fact that intuitively it's really pretty logical, there's another thing that, again, from my trading background of being a specialist trading options on the New York Stock Exchange, there's certain ways in which an order would be worked. So if you have a really big position, you don't want to just slam the whole thing down on the market and crush the price, because, you know, if you have a million shares of something and the bid is for 5,000 shares and you put your whole offer there, by the time you're selling the end of your order, you've destroyed the price. So aside from the fact that there's something seemed very unnatural about the reaction, if you look and see about how this took place late in the night, in the middle of the night when York's markets were closed and there's no liquidity, no one that is trading for profit, certainly someone that would have had the means to have that large of a gold position, it's just nobody would ever trade it like that. It seemed very intentional that it was driving the price down. Now, if you fast forward 2 years later to where we are today, we've seen this pattern repeated time and time again with the same exact parameters, and now this behavior has also been documented a lot more fully. And, well, at least to many market participants, it's no longer a mystery. It's very clear that the market is being manipulated. One of the things that I've written about on Arcadia Economics is I actually contacted one of the commissioners of the CFTC, which is kind of like the SEC for the commodities markets. And rather than saying, no, there's no evidence of manipulation, he wrote back to the effect of saying, hey, well, I'm doing all I can. You can Google these interviews that he references where he actually discusses that there has been manipulation. So, but he says, hey, it takes 3 out of 5 commissioners to approve some sort of action. I'm doing what I can. So about as clearly as he could have acknowledged it, said that, yes, we know that it's being manipulated. And again, There's plenty of information about this. You can Google Arcadia and silver manipulation. Another person you can Google is Ted Butler. And Ted is really, I think a patriot is a correct word to use, because he's really led the charge about standing up to what is which is really the most blatant market crime that's possible, is to manipulate a market. And I don't want to get too much into the details of that here, and certainly that's something that Ted is really, again, the expert and can detail more fully. He has his own subscription service, which I subscribe to. I think it's about $35 a month, and there's two columns per week. Highly recommended to anyone who wants to know more about this, but you can also find some free information from Ted on the internet. I think we still have depending on when you're listening to this, a couple of his columns linked from the front page of our site. But in either case, it's a pretty manipulated market. Now keep in mind, in these past couple of years, what have we found the banks were doing? Well, LIBOR, which is essentially the main interest rate from which all consumer transactions, especially in Europe, are linked to. Banks got caught manipulating that. Recently, a bunch of the banks have now been getting fined because they were manipulating the foreign exchange market. We found out that some of the banks were manipulating the energy markets, for which JP Morgan settled. Energy markets, the aluminum, copper markets, and were also being manipulated. Now many of the banks are getting fined for what they were doing in the mortgage market. So you can read between the lines. The same thing's happening in the gold and silver market. But what's so interesting about this, though, is that at least from the available evidence and facts that we have right now, this could really be the pin that's holding everything together. Now, when you try and figure out, well, why is the CFTC looking the other way, or if this crime is so blatant, why are the regulators not stepping in and doing something about it? You have to remember that there's a very big vested interest by the governments to not see the price of gold and silver flying out of control. If you have $5,000 gold, that's essentially the end to this inflation financing system as we know it. Because once the metals start getting out of control, that's the sign that people are losing faith in the dollar, which I would argue is actually already happening. People are losing faith in the dollar. You look at the amount of gold that the Chinese are buying. I mean, there's a massive migration of gold from west to east. But the reason that more people, that this run on the bank, which is what I expect will eventually happen, has not become more apparent is because normally the sign of this, the result of this, you would see gold and silver being bid up. But instead, they're going in the opposite direction. They're trading down, giving people the impression that there is no inflation. Prices aren't rising. The money printing isn't a real big thing. Well, keep in mind that the whole world is not represented by the U.S. mainstream financial media. And there are a lot of people, a lot of countries, and if you look at the big players, the central banks, everyone is buying gold and silver. Now, the fact that the price has been stuffed down artificially means that people are getting the chance to buy something that they want at an even cheaper price. Now, what's going to happen at some point is that the price of gold and silver are going to skyrocket. It's similar to if you try and hold a beach ball underwater, you can stuff it under there. But the farther you suppress it, the higher it's going to pop out once you finally release it. So, at least one possible way that this unfolds is that I do believe we're very rapidly approaching the end of the silver manipulation. And how it's going to end is not, I don't think it will have anything to do with regulator or any sort of acknowledgement of a crime, but the way that you suppress the price of these metals is you have to remember they're traded in paper contracts. in New York on the COMEX, and in London on the LBMA. So if the Fed comes out and announces QE5, which normally you would expect the price of the metals to go higher, you can sell all the paper, gold, and silver you want. You can force that price lower. But the physical gold and silver, the actual metal, you can't create unlimited actual metal. You can create unlimited paper contracts, but you can't create unlimited physical metal. So you've ended up in a situation where for each bar of gold or bar of silver, you have multiple claims because people have sold the same piece of metal multiple times. And at some point, what the result will be is a run on, you'll get a run on bank where, hey, here's my contract for silver. I want physical delivery, and it's not there. The reason we're approaching this point is because so many people, and again, primarily this is China and India are the biggest ones, are taking the physical delivery. So my guess here, and again, this is back to our speculation, I think when the silver market, well, it would, I guess you would call it the opposite of imploding, but when the silver market goes back to a free market basis, whenever this shortage occurs, you'll see a very high price of silver. And when I say high price of silver, which today is about $22, I'm not talking about, you know, silver going to 30 or 40. I think it's well over 50. We will see values of both gold and silver that will simply be stunning. Now, I think that silver, because of just how little is known about it, I don't know how much awareness if the when you get to that last bar of silver and it finally becomes full public knowledge that there's been a crime taking place in the market, you could have $100 silver and maybe the public won't care. But when you have $5,000 gold, that's something that's going to catch people's attention. And, you know, in the gold market, you have a whole host of other problems, which is really if the gold is even there at all. Now, keep in mind, Germany asked for their gold back last year, and the Federal Reserve said, well, we'll give you 10% over the next 7 years. Now, apparently that answer didn't satisfy the Germans, and they asked to do an audit, to which the Fed said no. Now, there's been a few things that have been similar in nature to that. And again, it's up for each person to piece the clues together in a way that seems logical to them. But what I wonder is, again, is that maybe the silver market does not catch people's attention if that gets out of control. But enough people who are trading gold when they see what's happening in silver could be the impetus to acknowledge and to really have that run on the bank in the gold market. And I think that when people see that the gold is gone, that's what I think will really catch people's eyes and be the real wake-up call to, wait a second, the gold's gone. Oh boy, we have a big problem. And what really changes this situation as we know it is when this bond bubble bursts, which at the end of it is the heart of it. All of these governments are borrowing money, and they've created a bond bubble that is going to burst. And when the bond bubble bursts, yes, that's when things really change, and you will begin to see a lot of the things that people are wondering now. Well, we see what's happening, but why isn't it happening? Again, this all comes back down to the bond market is really what changes the system of government and finance as we know it. So, in any case, again, this is just one hypothetical way of how things could work out. Who knows? Maybe one day OPEC will wake up and say, we don't want dollars for oil anymore. Again, it's interesting to think about how these dominoes will impact each other because none of this is happening in a vacuum anymore. Maybe it'll be the Japanese will finally blow out the yen because they're doubling their monetary base and that will spread and there will be contagion from that. But fortunately, the most important thing to keep in mind is that while it's instructive and useful to think about how these things can happen, to be properly positioned, you don't have to know the exact details. What we do know is that the Fed's going to continue printing a lot of money, and that has the implication that at some point this will lower the value of the U.S. dollar, will lower the value of U.S. treasuries. And once the manipulation is overwhelmed, well, I'm happy that I will be one of the people holding gold and silver, and I feel that it's going to perform extremely well in that environment. So the biggest thing is to remember you've taken the hardest step. You're digging in there, you're getting information, you're continuing to learn, and you should feel really good about that. Even if sometimes it seems a little overwhelming with all these things that are going on, just remember, you are ahead of 99% of people in the world by the fact that you're taking this step. And I congratulate you on that. And with that said, I hope to hear you back for the next podcast. You can visit us, as always, at arcadiaeconomics.com. And thank you for listening today.